Right.
Welcome to Reality NSFW. I am your host, Alex Trias, and I'm joined again by my co-host, my partner, Lauren Pratt. Lauren, how are you?
Oh, Alex, I'm doing great. I'm so excited to talk about this episode. Middle of the season, and this episode delivered for us. Normally, you get a little bit of a lull, but this one was great. There was so much action going on, and I'm excited to talk about it.
Well, yeah, it was finally... thank you, Priscilla. Challenge fans everywhere are all standing you right now because we got the best episode of the season so far.
I honestly think so. It's right up there for me. I mean, the premiere was amazing, but I think in terms of, as I just said, an episode right smack dab in the middle, it was great. I can't wait for next week too. So I think it's just going to keep on building. And I'm so happy that finally the vets have to target each other.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we'll go straight into the start of the episode. So we get a generic TJ previously on. It's okay. Episode was so good. Didn't need to have a special previously on. We're good. So we translate it back to, we back up to Jeremiah and Priscilla. Just one. They come into the house. They're pumped up. They're excited. And like Priscilla understands what she's done. She is fully ready to take her like comeuppance and go back in. She preferred not to, but I had to take that shot, and the game is now changed.
Yeah, absolutely. Priscilla changed the game for sure. And yes, she comes back into the house knowing that she is going to have a target on her back for doing so. But regardless, even if she didn't make that move, she was going to have a target anyway. So it really didn't matter. But I'm happy that she stirred the pot, got people's wheels spinning. And that's why the episode was so great, because of her, because she started it 1 week early.
Right. And before we get into like the real like meat of it, so wouldn't we now get like Josh's side of it? He's like, so sort of cool having Priscilla as a partner, but you know, she's a target. I have all these connections. I don't know if these connections are going to help me stay. It does, but you're starting to weep it. And then you have this conversation between Josh, Tori, and Corey, which is sort of funny because it's sort of like the axis of powers. You know, you have your three different troops with like three figureheads of each of them talking to each other, like, oh, you know, it was fun while it lasted, but you know, let the war begin.
Right. They all know the game is now beginning and that they're all going to be coming for each other. So it's kind of, you know, that awkward conversation that you end up having with people that, you know, eventually you want to go and slit their throat.
Yeah. But it seems like Tori and Josh took more so from Corey saying it above all else, because it seems like we haven't really seen it as the viewer, but we're starting to see Corey and Nelson have been trying to gather up some of the remaining rookies in order to try to, you know, make some bigger swings,
which is a smart move if nobody catches on to it, but people do, and that's where the problem comes in. It's good to have new people on your side because they know, you know, that they can be a number for you. But if other people are recognizing it, then that's where you can get in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that main conversation is between Kyle, Amanda, Ashley, and Josh. And Josh is sort of spearheading it, like saying like, oh, Corey said to me that the girls were saying it would either be Kyle or me going in if they had the power. And so it sort of gets Josh sort of like wheels spinning, and Ashley thinks more so, no, they're not going for you. They're going for me. I'm the 2-time winner. They always go after me because Corey and Nelson just can't get rid of this vendetta that they have against her over. I'm not even going to call it snaking Hunter. She won and decided to steal the money from Hunter, who was a terrible partner to her. So, but for whatever reason, you know, friends got to protect, back up their friends, I guess. So Ashley feels like they're coming for her.
Right. And she's absolutely correct. And you can't blame Ashley for what she did, because she even brings it up in the episode. People had told her time and time again, if they were in her position, they would have done the same thing. Now, I do think some people would have stayed loyal to their partner and shared the money, But again, we've seen it happen before. Bananas did the same thing. So it's not like this is a one-time show. She did it after someone had already previously done it.
Well, I mean, it sort of goes into the bigger idea of, at least shown for the TV show, guy winners have a lot easier time than female winners when it comes to how they're looked upon by the rest of the house. Like, yes, Devin openly says in his confessional, like, yeah, I love CT, but I want CT gone. I know I can't win if he's there. But it seems like they still let the male winners come along. Whereas with the female winners, it almost feels like if you won, they're trying to get you out immediately. Because I feel like the women, and somewhat with the men are doing it over petty things. The women are almost doing it as like they see themselves like, here's the hierarchy. We have the winners and then there's us. So we have to get the winners out in order to allow us to rise up.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we've seen it where they instantly become the target if they win. I think if Amber B in particular did not win her previous season, I don't think she would have been as targeted in this one. She could have maybe slipped under the radar depending on how she finished in the previous one. But because she was a winner like Ashley, target right away, and it was never going to change. She couldn't do anything about it.
Right. And then like we get this silly confessional from Josh where I'm just like, I understand Josh is a very, like, his pride is his social game, but he's like, I'm not Corey's number one. I'm not Corey's number two. He even pulled in Jeremiah before he pulled me. So like, I know where he's at. I'm like, well, Josh, like you have your own big alliance. Like it's like, I guess you can take offense of Corey not wanting you in the fold, but it's like, come on.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Josh's alliance is the Big Brother crew at the moment, and you can't expect to be someone else's number one or number two that's potentially working on the other side. That's not how it works, because I guarantee Josh wouldn't come and say, Corey's my number one or number two, so flip the script on yourself, because you're not going to be saying that I'm in lockstep with Corey, and so you can't get mad at Corey for, you know, not having you as his top dog either.
Right, which leads us to a conversation between Corey and Nelson where, hey, look, call back to Michaela. They got notes. Mm-hmm. They got notes and lists. And so Corey essentially breaks it into three different groupings, sort of. So he's like, there's your Big Brother alliance that's spearheaded by Josh and Casey. They obviously have Nani and Emmanuel connected to them as well. Obviously through Casey, but also understanding that Josh is well insulated with the other groups. We then have Devin's crew, as they call it, and that's, they only highlight in there Devin, Kyle, CT, and Ed, but I also added in my notes, like, well, they're also forgetting that Tori and Emmy are in that as well, just like how they're sort of forgetting with the Big Brother and Devin's crew that, like, Kyle and Amanda are sort of in both of those, just based off what we're seeing in the house, they're sort of, like, in between both of those groups.
Yeah, it was interesting how they were like deciding who goes where, because I do think some people could mix and mingle with where they go depending on who actually is in power. Because at the same time, you have to realize, okay, if this crew's in power, I'm probably going to go and ride with them this week and hopefully bring some of those other numbers along with me. And Corey and Nelson's whole point is we just got to make sure we're right in the middle. So they were trying to play the middle game, but unfortunately, it didn't work out for them.
Right, like there isn't a middle game where there's three even sides, because then they'd say their side, and it's like it's them, and then it's like the rookies, it's Priscilla, it's Bettina, it's I think they see Big T as part of their group, sort of, but not really, because then they say like, well, Logan is out there in the middle, and we do see Logan eventually say like, I want to go after Corey and Nelson because they won't want to be your partner, Big T. So they would take you out. I want you around. So they're a problem.
I like how they kind of misread Logan a little bit, because I think people think that Logan's not actually playing. And Logan, to me, comes across a lot smarter than people are giving him credit for, because he's in those conversations. He's talking to people. Yes, he hasn't gotten as much screen time as everyone else, but I do think Logan is a gamer and a smart strategic player and is just buying his time for when he can actually slip in and make a move.
Well, I feel like it comes with the experience of playing his version of Survivor. It's like, But Survivor is just like challenging in the sense of like you, there's two ways of thinking your moves. You can be thinking long term, or you can be thinking survival mode, like what's my day to day? And Logan said, everyone else is thinking about that final. I'm thinking about today. I'm thinking about today's mission. I'm thinking about today's elimination, who could be put down there, and what do I need to do to secure my safety for this week and get my agenda pushed forward. And so it was sort of like a little, Logan was on the back burner for a little bit, but because him and Nani win this week's elimination, we sort of get to see them propped up. And I also will talk more about Nani because I think she played this round really well. Like, people always talk about how CT has been doing a really good job of like just doing the move and then is able to like just fade back into the background. I think Nani has that same caliber of play.
If we're talking about this week in particular, she's playing a great political game because she had side conversations with a lot of people that could help her down the road because, yeah, she's in power this week, but she might not be next week. And so she's able to create those bonds and relationships to help her in future weeks to keep her safe. I think she's setting herself up quite nicely right now.
Right. And so we end the Corey and Nelson dialogue with Nelson sort of saying to Corey, like, I feel like people are going to want to put Bettina in as the house vote. So you're in trouble. So we need you to win. And like, you start to see a little bit of the Corey and Nelson going like, well, maybe we can get Ashley to be the vote. So like, what I loved about this episode is they pretty much set the whole thing up in the beginning, but it didn't drag for those 90 minutes. Like, it was a developing story from beginning to end on this episode.
Right. They were just creating what they wanted to have happen, but it was a slow burn. It wasn't just something that, all right, fired out. This is what we want 110% right at the beginning. It kind of built itself up to get to that point.
Right. And then for some levity, we then get Ed having a very genuine conversation, very heartfelt, very vulnerable, talking to himself in a mirror.
It was great. I love Ed. I know some people might not like Ed as much, but I just think he brings so much to the table. He's so charming. He's so kind and personable to people. And he just looks like he's a fun guy. And I think people genuinely want to have Ed around. Do I think he's playing a great strategic game at the moment? Not really. But at the same time, if people aren't mentioning your name and wanting to throw you in because you're that likable, it's, you know, you got to play the game that works for you. You are not going to always be the most strategic person. You're not going to always be the most social person. But if you know what is going to work for you in terms of strategy, then roll with it. And I think he recognizes what he is good at.
Right. And Riley Jim brings up a fun question. So Lauren, I'll let you answer this first. Which of the three alliances Corey made during this episode would you want to be a part of if you were on this season?
Oh, that's interesting. I have to go with Devin's alliance because I really enjoy the way Devin thinks and processes everything. And he's just a fun guy to be around. And he's hilarious. So I think that alliance would be good. And also, I would want to be partners with Devin because Devin kind of is good at what I'm not, which is puzzles. Mm-hmm. And so I can do all the athletic things, but puzzles, absolutely not. I'd be this doing what Corey did, letting Bettina do everything.
I wouldn't trust someone to put fate into my own hands, but I think I'm going to stick with first very specific person like why I would want to be on this group. I would probably choose the Big Brother Alliance. They have proven through multiple seasons they're able to maintain power in this challenge house, as well as if I could be partnered up with Casey, I think that would be an amazing female partner to have for a final. But like, granted, we haven't seen her win yet, but she has the potential to win, and all she needs is someone with like a little more brain power than her and who can keep up the pace, you know, do some training. Anyone could be like, and you're smart, you could be a partner for Casey and win a final.
Oh, I think Casey's an excellent choice in terms of a partnership. So my question to you is, I in my opinion, don't think the Big Brother Alliance took a huge hit losing Fessy on their side by him getting out of the game. What do you think?
I would say yes and no. Like, having Fessy there drives more fear just from some of the guys because they know someone has to go against him, and like, you don't want to go against him because he also has a pretty good ratio of winning dailies with any partners, really. So there's the threat of you pissed off him, he is more likely to be able to go at you than a Josh can, or like Casey can, but Casey will always be a little more calculated than that. On a brighter side, like, you're not making as much noise with having Fessy there, or with Fessy not being there. So I think it's like, you know, it's a 50-50 thing. Like, it could be good, it could be bad. It's sort of hard to tell. At the moment, they're in a good spot.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting just to see how everything forms throughout the rest of the season, because I do think there's going to be people jumping from different groups depending on who's actually in power and who's going to be able to make the decisions. Because I think that this season is going to be not set in stone with who's getting to the end, because eventually people are going to say, you know what? Yeah, I'm in this alliance, but I need to make a move that's going to get me to be able to compete in a final.
Right. And so what I also really like this episode is the Amber storyline, because we finally got rid of the stupid storyline. And for some reason, people think that on all these podcasts, we're all claiming that Amber's this fake person. None of us have claimed that. We have only been saying what they're saying on the show. But this episode really highlighted what the real crux of it is, which I've been saying, and you have been saying, and Johnny's been saying for the entire season, is they're threatened by her because she has won. And when you're a winner, and Ashley sort of gets to highlight, like, Ashley can be in a better spot at times, but she feels it. Like, once the winds change, it's like, everyone that's your friend, they take a couple steps to the side, and they're like, well, she can go. She's won already. And so, like, Amber's starting to, hasn't had the opportunity to really understand, oh, because I've won this money, it gets that much harder to win again, because now everyone has their eye on me and none of them want me to succeed again.
Right. And you see that conversation even play out within the episode where they're talking about the way that they feel and not people not approaching them or wanting to talk with them as much, because Ashley feels as well, just as you brought up, she recognizes, okay, now that the vet alliance is over, people are kind of distancing themselves from me now because they want to throw me in. They want to see me get out of this game. I was useful as a number in that alliance. And then when the alliance is over, then I'm at the bottom of the list.
Yep. And we sort of see that again, because Corey has a conversation with Devin and they're talking about essentially, like, they're sort of eyeing each other up, not giving all the information, but essentially Devin's like, I can give him this much and be like, I want a veteran to win. That's my first priority. My second priority is I don't want to have a veteran winner get to the final again. Like, I love CT, but I can't beat him in the final, so he needs to go. I have mixed feelings on Ashley. She can go. Like, I don't understand the mixed feelings on Ashley, because, like, really it comes back to, like, everyone thinks Ashley is the snake and whatever. Like, does she blow up sometimes? Sure. Half of the house does. Probably all of them, but we don't see all of them blow up. And, like, she sort of makes a statement of it at nominations. Like, tell me one person outside of Hunter that you claim that I have snaked. And the room goes silent.
As it should. She doesn't snake anyone. She snaked Hunter, yes. But she has always been loyal to her alliances. When she's in good with you, she's not going to turn her back on you. And I think people need to recognize that, okay, if I'm with Ashley, she's not going to go against me unless I do something to wrong her.
Absolutely. So, but we have that conversation, and we already touched the Logan and Big T conversation. So we're going to go straight into the mission. And it's mission time. TJ says it's called Bombshell Battle. I already loved what it looked like, because I knew it was going to be like, it's sort of like an older school version challenge, because it's just like, we got a mud pit, we got some balls, bombs down there. You and your partner one at a time have to go down, grab one of them. Once you get all four, you go down and get one of the limited silver bombs in order to advance, and you keep going more rounds until only one silver ball's there. One team wins, they get it. I loved the idea of this challenge. I loved how it played out. Very physical, a lot of endurance, a lot of strategy, and we see it cause some drama.
Right on. I like scrappy challenges, because I think it just, as a viewer, it's fun to watch. I like the physicality of it. And you're right. You get to kind of see who's really working with who and who wants to see others succeed. Because at the same time, this is the type of challenge where you might not be able to win it on your own. And sometimes you have to sacrifice your own self and help someone else get it. And we saw that play out, and I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, so a lot of people say some, like, their little taglines before we start round one. The only one that I wrote down, because it was only one worth mentioning. Tori says, she came to play with balls today. I loved it. She knew what she was doing. Yeah. You know what? I liked it. You know, she definitely is trying to get that Manscaped sponsor money. You know, we'll see if there's other challenges in the future to try to see if she can get some Blue Chew ad money as well. But she's coming for us. But we are the ones with that ad money. OK, Tori. So you can sit back and just do your regular podcast, the official one.
to Tori's credit, though, she does have some funny one-liners.
Oh yeah, so yeah, absolutely.
I did enjoy it as well. I mean, she knows when the camera's around, she knows what to say, and that's why she keeps coming back season after season, because she's someone that they can go to if they need a confessional.
Well, I mean, apparently someone told me, because I don't listen to their podcasts, for reasons. She apparently said on their podcast that production told her to stir up the Pizzagate. So she wasn't going to do it until production said, oh, we need to stir some drama up. So it's truly her fault / production's fault that Fessy went home. But I just wanted to put that out there. But so we go into round one, pretty competitive. Ed showing out, like, they show Ed being the first person to do it, but I really think all of them were doing it where they took the strategy of just going straight into the pit. Whoever goes in first, get all your balls and just throw them as close to your detonation station as you could, so that the process could be quicker. So we immediately see Casey Emmanuel finish first. Nelson and Big T do a good job. Logan and Nani, they're playing strategically because they're having other teams help them. Devin and Amber get it. So it then comes down to one final team, and Josh has the ball, and all the veterans pounce on him. It's then a battle between him and Corey, when Corey suddenly gets the ball, instead of trying to free himself, throws it to Jeremiah, a rookie, Lauren.
Wait, Jeremiah's a rookie?
He's a rookie. Apparently, it doesn't matter when you throw it to Ed, but yeah, when you throw it to Jeremiah.
I was going to say, Josh got steamrolled right there. Like,
oh, yeah, he got slaughtered.
Like, I just, like, his head was just smashed a time and time again into the mud. And I was just sitting there watching, like, damn, they came for him hard. And it was just multiple people. And he could not even escape it at all. And so, yeah, it was not a good look for Corey in that instance.
Yeah. So the reason why, for people in the chat that are asking, like, why was it a big deal that Corey was teaming up with a rookie while Kyle threw it to Ed and Casey threw it to Logan, it's because both of those sides already were viewing Corey as a potential house vote. They just needed more excuses. And also they were hearing that he was trying to pair up with rookies or more rookies than just the rookie that you were paired with. Because in this instance, Casey throwing it to Logan, they're like, okay, well, really, Casey's helping Nani and we're good with Nani. So that's fine. Kyle throwing it to Ed, the only people that are going to have an issue with it are Corey and Nelson, who want to go after Ashley. So it's more so the circumstance of who is throwing it to whom. And not so much the fact that it was a veteran throwing it to a rookie.
And people are going to pay attention and take anything that they can into the nominations to plead their case and pitch their story on why this person needs to go in. And that was a key point of this episode, was Corey trying to help out Jeremiah. And then once you can sell your story on that and why Corey should go in, that's all people need, as long as you have facts to back it up. And that's why we talk about with Ashley, when she says to everyone about being a snake and the room goes silent, no one had anything to say, but then you could showcase what Corey did because it's factual. Everyone witnessed it.
Yeah. So because Kyle ended up getting the ball and throwing it to Ed, he throws it to Ed because he's like, I know if Ed and Ashley get power, they ain't throwing me and Amanda down, because Amanda and Ashley are best friends. So I'm good. Which is smart. you do that, you know you're not going to make it up there because everyone else is going to tag you. Get it to someone that you know you're good with if they win. So we have our fifth team, it's Ashley and Ed. We go into the second round. And really, this is where Nani and Logan starts take over. Like, Casey puts in a lot of work getting their balls as well as her own. They get through it. They advance. Big T and Nelson advance after Casey's like, I finally get to tackle Amber and put some of my like physical frustration at her. And instead, Amber apologizes to Nani and starts like straddling Casey, which was just a fun thing to watch. I was just like, it was just funny. I was just laughing the entire time. Then you just see Big T still like trying to struggle to get the ball away from both of them.
The confessional was hilarious from Amber. It was great. And I do think that Amber in that situation held her own just fine. I mean, they were both scrappy with each other. It's not as though anyone was weaker than the other. So that was really good to witness. And then I will say with Big T, she is impressive. You have to give her a lot of credit. She has been holding her own so much this season. So I'm very proud of what she's been able to do, because if you look when she first started doing these, people like kind of just were like, ah, Big T, she's just there. She's just going to be a number. She's not going to be physical. She's not going to be able to compete with everyone else. No, she's there to compete. She's competing and she's doing quite well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. As a big, big T supporter, you're not going to hear any arguments from me. But we do see Ashley and Ed get the third silver ball, and they move on to the final round, which is getting Priscilla nervous. It's getting some of the other rookies nervous because they're like, Ashley with power, yeah, we're not in a good spot if she wins.
I mean, they're right.
I mean, yeah, they are. But it gets us to the final round, and essentially, all the teams get to the final ball. It's now up to Logan, Nelson, and Ed. Ed starts tackling Nelson for the ball. Logan then comes in, and Logan plays some politics here, because while they're all strapped together, he's like, hey, we're right here. We're right here next to my station. Like, you guys are going to have to go farther. We will continue the fight if you try to move over. You give me the ball, both of your teams are safe. Nani and I will not say your names. We will not put you in. You won't be the house vote. We will do whatever we can to make sure you're not the house vote, and we'll do it. And he starts going up, and Ed and Nelson are just like struggling to figure out, should we do this? Should we not do this? We want to win. Nelson ultimately makes the decision, I need to think selfishly here, take the risk, hope that Logan's a man of his word, and tackles Ed out of the way so that Logan can go in. Logan and Nani are your agency of this episode.
I think it was a great strategy by Logan. That's why I was talking about he's playing more than people actually think, because now, yes, he won that, but he made it in good with two other people where he never backstabbed them and ended up putting them in. And so now if they were to win next week or something, they could say, all right, Logan was true to his word. We can trust him. And so let's try and ride it out with Logan and Nani now. So I think Logan just set them up perfectly going into the next episode.
Oh yeah, we'll definitely see. I think it's just that I get the impression that Logan is very quiet when he's in the house, and probably sticks to himself if he's not with Big T. Like, they're saying that he's has a bond with Josh. We saw a little bit of it the week that Logan went into elimination, but you don't really see it that much. So I think it's just more like no one knows where Logan stands just because he keeps to himself, and which obviously isn't good TV if you're just being quiet and sticking to yourself the entire time.
Yeah, it's just that's why we don't see that many confessionals from Logan, I think, because he is kind of on the more reserved side. And you also have to remember there's so many high energy people on this cast. There's so many spitfires, fireballs, that they're going to get more of the confessional time because they know how to deliver really well in a confessional. So it all comes down to who viewers want to see in that confessional room explaining to us what's actually happening on the show.
Yep. And you know what, before we head out, we didn't head to our first ad break. I would be permiss if I didn't talk about the blow up between Josh and Corey while Josh was giving his team confessional, and Corey started yelling. I was like, keep your name out my mouth and all that. They started yelling at each other ultimately Corey's like trying to fake apology, be like, dude, it's just my competitive nature. I'm sorry, but it's just, I get fired up. But it was like for the challenge now, it was a little intense. I'm not gonna say it was intense, but it was just like, you knew Corey was smart enough. He's smart enough knowing now it's like, I'm not gonna hit someone. Like I'll yell, but I'm not gonna put hands on someone.
Right. Well, I mean, they already had someone go home this season for putting hands, so you don't.
Well, I mean, Corey has personally gone home for suplexing a person into pavement.
Yeah, that wasn't Corey's best look. If I gotta be honest, it was not a
great. Well, that was pre. It was pre-dad, Corey.
Yeah, that's fair, but still not a great look on Corey. But you're right. I like heat of the moment, and people are gonna have arguments because they're competitive. So I respect the hell out of that.
I just feel like ultimately it was something that Corey showed just suppressed, waited for a different moment to have that reaction. Just because when you already know you're a target, you publicly just making a scene at someone else is just going to fuel the fire of the masses. Like, okay, yeah, easy. This dude's overreacting. We'll put him in.
Well, that's what Nelson was saying, too. Nelson was saying that Corey should have kept his mouth shut, but Corey decided not to do so, and it got fiery, and it was entertaining, so I'm here for entertainment.
Yep. So we'll be going back to the house after these ad breaks.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and is convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code Survivor.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, Don't worry, Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BLUECHEW.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
And we're back. So, Lauren, we are now back in the house. Josh is trying to just talk with Amanda and Ashley, just like saying, hey, I think we can get the votes to put in Corey. And Ashley starts freaking out because she feels the people that Josh is saying he can get don't want her around. She's like, Tori doesn't want me around. Like, Devin, maybe, but not really. It's like Corey wants me gone. Nelson wants me gone. Like, these people don't want me here. And she starts freaking out. And Josh and Amanda are just like, they're just being paranoid. Like, chill.
Ashley was freaking out before they even got back to the house, because as soon as she found out her and Ed lost the challenge there, she was stewing. You could tell, you can see it on her face. Ashley cannot hide her facial expressions ever, but this is why I like having Amanda on the season. Amanda is someone that is so good for Ashley to be aligned with, because I think Amanda does a good job at keeping Ashley as calm as possible. And Josh too. Josh has his moments as well. But for some reason, the way Josh talks to people when he's not having his own moment, he's really good at trying to say, okay, listen to me for a second. I am trying to help you. You have to stay calm, because if you blow up, then you're going to tank your own game.
I'm not blowing up. I'm just trying to make you realize how dumb you're sounding right now. I love Amanda too. I don't love that she's feuding with Michelle, because I want all my favorites to just get along. But love them nonetheless. So it's club time. And we get to see Nani put in a little bit of work with Priscilla. She's like, hey, I've been in your spot. I'm not targeting you. There's a lot of bigger fish to fry. I would have made the same move you did if I was in your shoes, in your exact situation of being a rookie. You see these big veterans and you need to shake things up. I would have done that too. So you're good with me.
Nani, for me, might be my MVP of this episode, because I think she did everything correct. And I also think she had those key conversations with people that sets her up for the future and the rest of this game. So I personally think she was the best player in this episode.
Well, I feel like the only other type of confessions we've had in the first 8 episodes with her were her like being flattered that people wanted her as a partner, or her and Casey flirting. I think they have a very fun relationship. Mm-hmm. I think they're great together, but I'm like, I know Nani's here to play the game and she's great at confessionals. Let her be great at confessionals and show us her, like, show it to us. Like, she's able to be a storyteller. She's able to clearly dictate and show to the viewer her thought process, because like, she is fine with Logan's pitch of like, oh, put Amber and Jeremiah down. She's like, yeah, Amber beat me last year. Like, it wasn't close. She outran me. I can't beat her if we go to a final, because we know they'll be running. She's gonna be better at it than me.
And the other good thing is Logan and her seem to be on the same page with each other about what they want it to do, which you need in a partnership, especially where the game and the direction that it's going in. We don't obviously know what's going to happen next week. That's going to be interesting for sure. But if you're thinking in the back of your mind, okay, we're in partners and this is the way the game's going, then you have to be in lockstep, because as soon as you start to bicker with your own partner, you're just not going to be able to work well with each other, because you have to rely on your partner so heavily so far in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking about partners, we then get that conversation between Ed and Amber, and Ashley walks in on it, just talking about like, Amber's like saying, Ed, like, you know, it, are you afraid to go down there? And it's like, I'm not afraid. Like, do I want to go down? No, but I feel like Ashley and me would be a good enough pair to win if we go down there, and which I think in this type of elimination, they probably could have, as long as they were able to conquer the balance being part of it, because they're both good at puzzles, allegedly, on Ed's side. Like, we saw him win a puzzle elimination once, so I would assume he would be able to do it again with Ashley there. But he's like, well, if I would switch partners, and it starts the conversation of people like, I want to have Casey as my partner. And like a lot of people are eyeing her now, despite her not wanting people to eye her, they're eyeing her. But then we get this nice moment between Ashley and Amber, like just bonding over the paranoia of being winners and being targeted.
I really enjoyed the moment because we're able to see from their perspective how they feel with having that huge target on their back, because I think, well, the target has always been on Amber ever since she got there. I think it really hurt her that she didn't start the season with everyone. I think that was another thing that, you know, check that off, that she's going to be targeted for regardless. But the fact that her and Ashley had that conversation with each other gives me some hope that maybe in a future season that they might actually connect and potentially work with each other, since they know that people continue to go after them since they won the game.
Right. But unfortunately, Logan, again, like talks with Nani saying, like, I want Corey and Bettina to be the house vote. I want Amber and Jeremiah to go in. Like, we win regardless of who goes home there. And, like, you know, let the lovers fight together.
I love that. I think it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, we do see in the elimination. I mean, like, they even took a second to do a little peck with each other. So.
I honestly think that's what ruined them. Like, they did that peck and then suddenly they couldn't cross anymore.
The kiss of death.
Yeah, it was the kiss of death. So I'm going to skip the Corey and Nelson scene because it wasn't really anything that we haven't already heard. But we do get a conversation with Devin, with CT, Tori, and Kyle, the Hot Sauce Alliance all together. And they're sort of talking about the pros and cons of doing Corey or Ashley. And like Devin's like trying to pitch Ashley, but CT is definitely like saying, no, like, if we want this thing to work, like, we can't have people that are trying to make big swings. Like, Corey's trying to make a big swing. He's working with the rookies. Devin tries to counterpoint by saying, yeah, but like, none of us really want to work with Ashley and with Corey. Yeah, he wants to take a big swing, but he's not with a partner that's going to win him a daily, so he's not going to be able to take the big swing. So you might as well keep these people around, but anchor them with a bad player.
They had a really good back and forth there with each other. But what I liked even better is when Ashley joined the conversation. And I think her approach was amazing. She took time, took a deep breath, and calmly went in there and explained her thought process and why she thinks that Corey should go in. She didn't come at them angry. She came in very calmly. And I think that is a testament to Ashley saying, you know what? I can go and approach these people. I can go say what I need to say to Tori. And I think Tori kind of respected the way Ashley came at her.
Right. But also I think it's just when you're constantly confirming to people like, yeah, Corey's trying to align with these three rookies. He has Nelson. They want to take big swings. Look at your group. Like, if I'm gone, like, who are they coming after next? CT, Tori, like, you guys are pretty popular with people. Don't you think people would want to take you out? Like, you know, like she's saying that without directly saying that. So, you know, she calls herself a politician. We see her go to work.
Right. And it was also good that she said right to Tori's face, I want to run a final with you and that I don't think I can beat you. And you want to hear people say, I don't think I can beat you. Now, do I think good and well that Ashley in her mind thinks that she can beat Tori? Absolutely. But you still tell that person that I don't think I can beat you.
Oh, yeah. You constantly feed the ego.
Yep.
It's what you got to do. And with people that do the challenge, they're going to have big egos. So just stroke those egos well and you'll be good. But that leads us to nominations. That's where the real like meat comes in, and we have the big back and forth between Corey and Ashley. And Corey's just like trying to call her out, like, Ashley, like, you're a snake. You wear it as a badge of honor, the fact that you snaked Hunter out of $500,000. And like, why are you wearing that as a badge of courage? Like, you know, why can we trust you? Like, I played for 9 seasons. I don't backstab. I always say it to the people's face and all that. Like, I'm someone that is trustworthy, but for some reason you guys just don't want to trust me when he is back dealing. And you hear from like CT and some of the other people, like, it's sort of pointless bringing up this one action that Ashley did several seasons ago that has nothing to do with the situation that we're all in right now.
Well, and during that entire conversation, you could see it even in Corey's face that the energy was shifting in a different direction, because I think Corey knew, okay, I don't have as many people on my side as I thought I did. And you can just see him slowly like sinking further and further down, because he knows, okay, they're asking me all these questions and to explain why Ashley's a snake, and I can't give them anything other than the hunter situation.
Right. And it's just like, and we already said, like, she then said, like, hey, who have I snaked?
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, no one spoke up. And then, like, I guess Nelson, because he's voice with Corey, he's voice with Hunter, yeah. He then tries to call out, like, Amanda, like, why are you backing her? Like, you call her each other, like, your best friends. She snaked you. You let her go to a final, and you only got a $500 gift card or something, which has been called that never happened. So she didn't even get that. But it's just, like, I don't understand people being, like, they didn't give you money because you helped them. Like, how dare you not pay them? It's like, if you're truly friends, like, you don't need to be like, oh, I need to be compensated because I did a favor for you. Like, Nelson, and they call it out, and Ashley says in a confession, like, you literally did the same thing for Corey. What did Corey get you? He didn't win.
Yeah, and she's absolutely right with that. I just feel as though it wasn't relevant to bring it up, but I think Nelson was trying to do anything he possibly could to put the target more so on Ashley, and he was looking out for his boy. I mean, him and Corey are super close with each other, and it's the same thing. Amanda's super close with Ashley, so you had people backing who their number ones are.
So awkward now when you remember back to episode 0 and episode 1 of the season when they were hooking up.
Yeah, it is.
It's just,
I kind of forgot about that.
I didn't.
To be honest, I know you didn't, but you're right. Now, episode, yeah, they were getting real cozy with each other. You're right. Mm-hmm. And then Berna came in and started up.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so ultimately, they, Priscilla, that, like, Devin calls out, like, he wants to know, did Priscilla think about this move on her own, or was this Corey's plan? Priscilla was honest and said, this was my plan. Devin, who just wants to hear and think what he wants to hear and think, goes, oh, she's definitely lying. It was obviously Corey. This cements my vote now. It was always going to be Corey. Devin's just playing it up. Like, we don't know truly if Devin believes what he even just said in that confessional. All he needed to know was, yeah, I'm voting for Corey.
Yeah, he was setting up a storyline, which, you know, that's typical Devin. But I just think, for me personally, I'll ask you, do you think they made the right choice? Do you think that they should have sent in Ashley and Ed, or do you think that Corey and Bettina were the correct choice for the house overall?
I think for the house overall, Corey and Bettina is the right choice, because once again, like, even if they win an elimination, we haven't really seen them be in the front end of any of the dailies. So I'm not worried about getting repercussions from them. They're part of an overall smaller group of the house. So less opportunities for that smaller group to gain power. Whereas, like, Ashley, yes, she's a target, but she still does have those connections. And we have seen Ashley perform well, and we have seen Ed perform well. So I think you take the better bet there, and the better bet is putting Corey and Bettina down and seeing what happens.
Yeah, I agree. I would have, if I was in their shoes, I would have put down Corey and Bettina as well, unless, you know, Corey's your best friend.
Right. So we see them as the house vote, and, like, there's a little blow up amongst the guys between Kyle and Corey, and he's like, I don't have any allegiance to Corey and Nelson. Like, I'm tired of them always throwing that I'm a snake in my face. Like, guess what? We're all on the show. We're all a bunch of fucking snakes. I just had the balls to admit I am.
We didn't see too much from Kyle, but I'm happy that we got that moment in the aftermath of the entire situation. Of course, Corey's allowed to feel some type of way. He just got selected to go into elimination. But again, Kyle is also right. Like, he owes Corey nothing.
Yep. And then we see Corey and Bettina talking before the lair, going like, if we win, or when we win, we are going to split up. We have to split up. But we're going to shake things up. And Bettina's like, I'm going to go take CT. And Corey's like, I'm going to snag Casey and really see what happens here. Because now they would be forced, if they want me in again, they're going to have to put one of their friends in, most likely. We'll see at the end of the episode. That may not be the case, but it's a good idea.
Obviously, go for the heavy
hitters. Go for people that are going to do well, because at the end of the day, they're going to perform and try to stay safe, so you have a higher likely chance of winning.
Yeah, it's a great idea, unless you don't predict a twist is coming at you.
Yeah, so we're now in the lair. Corey and Bettina were the compromised agents, so they're down there, and Logan and Nani call down Jeremiah and Amber. Amber's just like, she's ready. She's in the zone for it. She's like, I already have 3 wins. Let me get my 4th. I'm hungry. I want to get back into the house with Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. And so we have Hang in the Balance, where all 4 of them will start on 1 platform. And then you have puzzle pieces that you then need to go across this like janky ass beam over to the other platform. Paul, your puzzle pieces there. Once you've gotten all of them over, you then solve the puzzle. First team to complete their puzzle wins. I loved this elimination.
This elimination was amazing. It was brutal. I loved the concept of it. I just think you provided so many different elements, because it's strength, it's balance, it's being able to use your mind. You have to be able to stay focused the entire time, because once you lose focus, you're going to fall.
Right. And like, I'm not sure if Corey was exaggerating here, because we've heard of challenge or eliminations that have gone a long time. He said at the end of it, when they won, it was spoiler, Corey and Bettina won. He was like, 3 hours later and not feeling my arm or one of my arms, we did it. And it, honestly, the way it was looking, I would not question that it took multiple hours for them to figure it out and get through it.
I agree. I don't know if it's like 3 hours completely, but definitely a long time, because they kept falling and falling and falling. And obviously we're not seeing them, the process of getting to the ground and climbing up the ladder again. But what we see Amber and Jeremiah at one point, they're resting on the platform because they're just completely gassed and exhausted. Well, and that shows you that, that shows you went on forever.
Yeah. And they used a bad strategy. Like, both of them were trying to do, well, the guy's heavier, so let the guy support the girl with his like arms and his lower back, and the girl like go low and go through because they're lighter. That was never going to work in this type of instance long term, unless you were able to move fast, and you can't really move fast there. Bettina and Corey developed the proper strategy here. When you're different body weight and body types, you have to stay close on a platform or on a beam that's going to be moving and not stable. Because then, like, you have more of a likely chance to be able to support one another and easier or more easily counterbalance the weight and the balance that you have in order to maintain and be able to keep moving forward. So Corey and Bettina eventually find that right path. Amber and Jeremiah do not. Bettina solves the puzzle. Corey wins a puzzle elimination without touching any of the puzzles. And he calls himself the Puzzle King. Obviously, ironically, it was funny.
It was funny. He was very, very excited and literally just stood there and let her do everything. And the thing is, Corey recognizes what he's good at and what he's not good at. And if he has a partner that can do puzzles for him and he can just stand there and watch and they win the elimination, he doesn't care. He won the elimination.
I mean, good on him for knowing his weaknesses. I would be more proud of him if he would actually work on those weaknesses. Because imagine if you didn't need to have someone else do that type of work for you, you would be even more of a threat to the house. And you know what? Even being more of a threat, people would be less likely to throw you down because they'd be more afraid that you would beat them.
I'm sorry, but Corey does not strike me as a person that goes home and practices puzzles, because he's never gotten any better at them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm saying he should, but he doesn't. But paid off. Bettina wins it for them, and Amber and Jeremiah go home. Amber's obviously going to be called back. Jeremiah, I think we've seen the last of him.
I don't think Jeremiah's getting called back. He was not entertaining and compelling enough in confessionals, and I think he's just going to be one of those challenge people that we're not going to remember. I'm sorry.
It's a shame. Like, I feel like I definitely feel like he's someone who does have that energy. Like, I do think he has the Corey energy. Or at least like a younger Corey energy. It's just that we weren't shown it. But yeah, one more Corey's gone. Spoiler alert, him and Amber are not dating. She's dating someone else, not from the challenge. So that didn't work for him either. So he didn't win anything, it turns out. Oh, well.
Came up empty-handed. It's yep. unfortunate. I do think he had potential, but when you have so many other people that are strong characters on the season, especially rookies, because you're not going to bring back every single rookie. And so if people outshine you and you just get kind of like lost in the shuffle, I think that's what happened with him.
Yeah, that's honestly what it was. But now, to what the viewer believes and what all of them believe, Corey and Bettina get to make a decision. Casey's like trying to hide her. So like, I don't want to be picked. Please pick Tori. Please. CT's like, yeah, Bettina, if Bettina picks me, it's not going to be long-term. I'll make sure of it. It's like they have the partners that they want. They're like, yeah, these are problem people. I don't want to be associated with them. And TJ then goes, you can rejoin the group. You can rejoin the group.
And Corey was lost and
Lauren, you can rejoin the group. Are you kidding? I'm not kidding. Rejoin the group. There's no joke here. I'm not pulling your leg. Rejoin the group. Everyone doesn't know what's happening, and TJ just goes, always be expecting of, like, you know, like, it's not the Big Brother line, but I expect that, unexpected, but like, always prepared for anything. I'll see you guys around. And that's how we end the episode.
And I also love that Tori's just standing there like, I don't have a partner. Like, I'm happy it happened to her. Like, mm-hmm. that she's just standing there like, what do I do? What's going on? And then he's just like, see you guys soon.
Yeah, so obviously, the easy thing for all of us to expect is we're going to get into the next episode and think TEJ's going to be at the next mission and be like, it's now individual. Or like it'll be like more of like a free agent style potentially. Like I think the first one will be an individual challenge where like a guy and a girl will win the agency. I assume then that we're also going to go down to single eliminations instead of partners, which I'm upset about because I find partner eliminations more time than not are a lot more exciting than individual unless you're doing something physical.
Yeah, this season, the eliminations have been awesome. I have really enjoyed them, and it's because of that partner component that we've seen. Obviously, we got a couple where it was just like 1v1 matchups, but overall, I don't have an issue with any of the eliminations that we have seen thus far.
Yeah, but we'll find out next week what happens there. I'm very excited to see what happens next. This was a really good episode. Probably one of the better episodes Challenge has put out in, honestly, a few seasons. It was just very good editing. We got a clear storyline throughout the entire thing. We know where people are sitting. So we know where the battle lines are drawn. And I'm looking forward to see what comes next.
Absolutely. I'm really excited. And I cannot wait to come back and chat about it next week.
Yeah, so that concludes this week's podcast for Spies, Lies, and Allies. We believe Johnny will be back next week for Survivor. We don't know, and I think he could be back next Thursday for our next challenge coverage. Obviously, Matt and I will be there next Wednesday for Survivor. Lauren will be joined by Alex Rubino on Monday evening for the deep dive into Episode 3. Lauren, do you have a guest?
We are working on it right now, but we will have a guest. Yes.
Okay. And if you want more content, go to Ad-Free NSFW. Become a patron for Reality NSFW. Johnny and Matt do a Q&A with the patrons, and it's their favorite podcast of the week to do. It's a lot of fun. There's no topic off limits there. And they are covering Australian Survivor as well, which they're not covering those seasons yet, but there are now 3 seasons of Australian Survivor on Paramount Plus. I highly recommend you go and watch those as well during your off time while you wait for the next Survivor episode or Challenge episode to come on. And I know Johnny has a lot of other stuff cooking and figuring out when he's going to upload those. But until then, we're going to put some more ads in and have a good night, everyone.
Autumn is in the air. Pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants pumpkins when you're grooming, if you know what I'm saying. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new 4th generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with promo code SURVIVOR.
Now listen, I have had my fair share of mishaps in the past, and going into Halloween, the guys like to dress scary, the girls like to dress inviting, and as a result, you're bound to get your pants down if you do things right. Well, you don't want a big bush down there. You want those things freshly trimmed, shaved so perfectly. Don't use a razor. Go to Manscaped. It's the only way, or you will not be getting treats, but only tricks.
It's time to bundle up with the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies.
First off, the new Performance Package 4.0 includes the new Lawnmower 4.0. And if you're looking to cozy up this fall, this trimmer is essential.
Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn a 4000 LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave, plus it's waterproof.
I hate shaving in the dark. That 4000 LED spotlight, perfect. But the Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. So you use the Lawnmower 4.0 for your rear, use this for your ear. This nose and hair trimmer uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system to provide proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps against nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes.
Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand in hand.
That's all they're talking about at Target these days. It's crazy. Then after trimming the pumpkin patch and whacking the leaves, give your balls a boost and use the Crop Reviver. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. You see me on the road, I have the Manscaped Shed Travel Bag with me everywhere I go. Get comfy on the home and on the go this season.
So get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Make your balls a priority this fall. Choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Promo code SURVIVOR. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food, and realize I basically can't eat anything anymore. I mean, I used to love eating that delicious cereal, but I can't. But wait, I can, thanks to Magic Spoon.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories a serving.
It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. Plus, build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my new favorite, maple waffle.
Magic Spoon just recently brought back two super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle, just like you're talking about, Johnny. Permanently. When these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. You should make sure to get these again and try them for the first time. They're delicious and indulgent.
Every morning I wake up, I look into my cabinets. All I have is Magic Spoon cereal. I have all the options. And I'll do a little bit of I'll mix some cookies of cream with a little cinnamon, maybe cocoa and peanut butter. But oh man, that maple waffle just by itself is just something so spectacular. Hey, they're perfect not only for breakfast, but that guiltless midnight snack.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use promo code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. And thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring.